Thank you. As you look at Matthew chapter 5 this morning, I just want to let you know that yesterday we put to rest Officer Dave Kepler from the police force in San Jose, Rhonda, who is the McDowell's daughter, was under absolutely beautiful control, and the service was, I would say, to the glory of God in a marvelous way, how the officers, the chief police, and people spoke about this officer who believe in God and show God in the forces in a very difficult job. And he was shot 4 times in his arms during the service. Very, very remarkable man. Also, I want to thank you that you are here this morning. And for those who are watching over the TV and in the conference room, it's just getting feel over there too. So we are thankful for you that I'm sorry you when you come a little bit late here, we get packed and then you sit down there and you are watching the service and myself in the conference room. There is Bible just in front of the television if you need the Bible there in the conference room so that you can follow the service. Also, in the church bulletin, there is an outline with page numbers where it relates to the Bible that is on the pew. We had the pleasure to listen to KKMC, a radio station way off on the fields, and they extended their broadcast. And so we are able to go into Highway 599 and still listening to KKMC. No wonder people are calling and writing notes, listening to our radio station. And for those listening over the internet, and I guess it's tomorrow morning in Japan and listening in Japan, we greet you to Kim and the other people who are excited that we are broadcasting the gospel. You find believers here and there and there and there. It's just so beautiful. But for your comfort, our review architectural board have approved the entire drawings, and they want us to be there tomorrow morning in the other place. So very unusual for the city hall. I do exercise in 24 Fitness with one of the chief executives there and the board. And every time I'm running, he comes to me, when the building is going to be done? And this is the city. And that's very good. I'm in contact with the architects. We had another architect, Chinese architect, Mr. Ho, is finishing entire drawings of this. And he promised by the 30, everything will be done and the board will pick up the pieces from there and put the prices of the building, and hopefully on July we will break the ground, and hopefully in 9 or 10 months we will be seating better than you are seating today. So be patient, please. I know the church is getting crowded. We are in Matthew chapter 5 in a series of the Beatitudes, and Matthew 5 is like an introduction, the first 12 verses, to what Jesus wanted to teach the disciples. This is an amazing scripture because people say Jesus never wrote anything, but he taught. And Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and clearly you can see the teachings of Jesus with tremendous authority. He said, you heard there has been said this, but I say this. And nobody complained or modified it. And so we have the view of this is what the law said, and this is what grace really says. And that's very important for all of us. Now, there is a historical context to the text today, Matthew chapter 5. Our text is in verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Israel was in a desperate condition in the times where Jesus was speaking. Remember, they were under the Roman Empire domination. And they have a country and they have a land, but they were not free. They will have to do what the law of Rome really said. But the worst problem in Israel was not the political problem or the scenario of the Roman soldiers. The worst problem of Israel was the lack of recognition of their spiritual life. They had their Messiah right there at their doors, and they were blind. And I want to show you a few scriptures how bad they were. It's just like America today. Move your Bible to John Gospel chapter 3, page 1150. John Gospel chapter 3, and I'm going to read for you a few verses 1 to 4 in John Gospel chapter 3, page 1150. And to show you how bad spiritually was the church. The Bible said this in John Gospel chapter 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jew, a professor in the high academy of the Jew. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are," he said, "a teacher come from God. For no one," he said, "can do those things or teach those and do those signs that you do unless God," look at what this man said, "is with him." And look at what Jesus said in verse 3. He said, "Most assuredly I say to you," he said, "unless one is born again," now you hear those words, "born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now he's talking to a professor of theology, a ruler in the Sanhedrin, a professor of theology. Now you may think that when a professor of theology hears these peasant Jesus saying that, he will pay attention to it. But look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, look at what he said. "How can a man be born when he is old?" In other words, he's thinking in the physical arena. How can a man reduce himself again to the wombs of a woman and come out? How can he enter a second time in his mother's womb, he said, and be born? You see, that's a decay of the spiritual life of Israel. I'm not talking about the people of the land. I'm talking about the rulers of the land. Now, move your Bible to John 6, for example. You're in John 3. You move your Bible to John 6 and verse 28. The people are asking Jesus, the people of the church. Look at what they are saying to Jesus, John 6, 28. They say to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" We are believers, but we don't know what to do with our life. It's not that decay. That's America today. 2,000 years ago, Israel was in such a desperate condition. What should we do with our life? I don't know what to do with my life. I find so many young people telling me, "I don't know what to do with my life. I want to get their neck and shake it." See, when you have lack of a spiritual life, you have no direction for your life. When you are zero in the spiritual arena, when you are zero in challenging your life to be pure for God, then everything else falls away. Look with me in Luke Gospel, chapter 10, page 1123. And Luke Gospel chapter 10 and verse 25. There is a lawyer. No a lawyer from the court, civil court, but a lawyer from the Judean court, which is a religious lawyer. The Jewish people want to study the Bible so fine that they became lawyers in the law. We here in America don't call that. We call doctor in theology, we call it. I have my doctorate in theology. But if I was a Jew, I was getting my doctorate in the law of God, like a lawyer. And look at what he said right there in Luke 10 and verse 25. "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and trying to check Jesus out, saying, 'Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" Isn't that amazing? It's like a priest coming to me and said to me, "Pastor, how can I be saved?" It's like a deacon coming to me and said, "Pastor, how can I be saved?" That was the decay of Israel. The historical context is not so much political, is not so much physical, is the depravation, the state of a spiritual life so low that they cannot recognize who Jesus is. Now, there is a literary context. And now you have to go back to Matthew 5 And in Matthew 5 and in verse 4, look at what the Bible says. Blessed are those who mourn. Remember, I preach on that. Blessed are those who are sad, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are those who said, boy, oh boy, in my own terms, I cannot see God. Boy, oh boy, by myself, I cannot ever touch the presence of God. And so when you say that, then you come to verse 8. Say, blessed are the pure in the heart. A person who is pure in the heart recognizes the shortness of his ability to justify himself before God by himself. There are three important observations that I would like to make to this text in verse 8. First, it is meaning. Then it's achievement. And then it's results. Remember, it's meaning, the achievement, and the results. And see if we can get out of here today and say in our heart, I will be holy for God. It's meaning. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in the heart. So I'm going to take that word heart and go through some verses in the Bible and find out exactly what that word means. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7. The book of Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 7, page 741, tells you something about the heart. Tell something about you. The Bible said, for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As you think in the deep of your soul and will, so are you. Eat and drink, he says to you, but his heart is not with you. In other words, the heart is that section of you that reveals who you are. Go to Matthew's, go to the New Testament, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4. At Matthew chapter 9 and verse 4, we're going to talk, page 1046, we're going to see more about the heart. Jesus said, but Jesus, knowing their thought, people were not saying any word, but Jesus can read their thoughts. I cannot read your thoughts, but Jesus can. Knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your heart? See, you are talking to somebody, you are doing business with somebody, you have a friend, and you never know what that friend really thinks. But Jesus can. See, a person is not that he's evil. He thinks evil in his will and in his mind. Look at the contrast in Matthew 7. And in verse 5, excuse me, in Mark 7, 5 and 6. You're in Matthew, move one book ahead. And look at Mark 7, verse 5 and verse 6. The contrast there, the panorama. The Bible says, then the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, why do your disciples do not walk according to, look at the word, tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands. See, the Jews were very picky in all the details and the traditions. Verse 6, he answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites? As it is written, these people honors me with their lips, but in their heart they are far from me. There are people who dress like a Christian. They show certain appearance like a Christian, but their heart is not a Christian. Until you deal a little bit with them, then you find out and said, boy, I'm talking to a non-Christian rather than to a Christian. And Jesus detected. He said, why you want all the details, the outside of your life looks like Christian, but inside, the real you is not a Christian. So Jesus said, remember the Beatitude, blessed are those pure in the heart. Not pure in your dress, but in your heart. Now, there are consequences when a heart is impure. And it's in Genesis. Everything is in Genesis, by the way. Genesis chapter 6, verse first book of the Bible. And verse 5 is just amazing. In Genesis 6:5, the Bible says, "And God saw the wickedness of man, and there was great on the earth, and that the imagination of the thoughts and their heart was only evil continually." I'm talking about the very beginning. I'm not talking about 100 years ago, 200 years ago. I'm talking about the very beginning. God loose. Remember Adam chapter 3, he's out in the world. And in three chapters, God said right here in Genesis 6:5 that the imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. And so what is the heart? Most of you know the trouble I'm having with my super Lincoln 95 car. I enjoy it because I can stretch my legs and go like this, and just beautiful. Can't get the brakes done. We are about 6 weeks already with the dealer, with the Ford company. I'm riding and talking, and I can't get the brakes done. And what they told me last Friday was this: your module control center need to be changed. I say, mine of the car. Because the guy went to me and said, your module control center needs to be changed. And I was studying this sermon, and I was thinking that the heart is the module control center of my mind. And the guy came to me and said, you need to be changed. And I said, hold it. Is media need to be changed, or the car need to be changed? No, the car. I'm talking about the car, he said. You know, he said, it's all bad. And if we hook all the wires, we hook, change all the pieces, and you only want original parts, and then we had to call four had to have 3 or 4 weeks to build it. I called the Ford company and said, we build anything you want. You got the money, we got the time. We build it for you. So I want that car to be super. But I'm on the way. Because you said, I when I brought the car, I always write for what? With my signature, I sign it, I ask the fellow, you sign, you understand what I said? Yes. Now, I took the car, and it doesn't work. So I pay already $3,000, so I need the car to be fixed according to your signature. We fix it for you. What's the heart? Is the module control center of your life. That's what it is. The man told me, I said, how can a module control center be broken? I buy a Lexus. No, don't buy a Lexus. He said, we tell you Lincoln is the best car in the world, blah, 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 blah. How can that be wrong? He said, well, I'll tell you how. A little here, a little here, a little here, a little dust into the computer, a little here, and they break here, break here. It's like your life and my life, I said. We let sin come in, a little here, a little here, a little here. Very soon, the control module thinking, we got, you stop reading the Bible, and then you get all the garbage in the module control center. No wonder people kill. No wonder we are wrong. Go to college, challenge the professors, get the best grades, become medical doctors, surgeons, and become engineers like Daniel and our brother, a master in biology, and become super and teach those people that we can do it. Si se puede, we say in Spanish. My friend, don't let the module control of your life be broken. The heart. Jesus said, not only the heart, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in the heart. He used an adjective. He used the word pure. So I want to find out what pure really means. I need to have a personality that is pure. I thought that I had to be good looking. But no, it's pure, said Jesus. I care less about good looking. All right. What is pure? James chapter 4, verse 4. James 4 in verse 4 and in verse 8. We're going to study the word pure. In James 4, page 1318, I guess the idea of what pure really is. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world, make himself an enemy of God. And then there is an explanation of that verse in verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And look at what he said. Cleanse your hand, you sinners. And what they said? Purify your hearts. Who are these people? You double-minded. A heart that is not pure is double-minded. You come to church, you worship God, and then you go in the street and you live like the devil. That is a double-minded heart. That is not a pure heart. All right? Let's go to another verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 7 and verse 15 and 25. And look at what the Apostle Paul goes through. Romans chapter 7, verse 15, page 1229. 1229. For what I am doing, I do not understand, say Paul. For what I will do, I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. He finds himself some mutual problems. All right? Look at it in verse 21, same chapter. I find then a law that evil is present with me. It's not in him. Some people say, oh, he has evil. No, sir. He says, it's present with me. And evil is always around you. He said, the one who wills to do. Now, verse 25, thank God, he said, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He said, I find a conflict. I'm thinking right, but I'm doing something wrong, so I need to do some wire changing so that I can do what I think. Double-minded. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48 is a real challenge. Matthew 5, 48. Therefore, God said, you shall improve your life. I ask people, why do you go to church? I ask people on the street. You know, I did that program so long that I still am me. And I still have my badge as a reporter. So I ask people, why do you go to church? To improve my life. Matthew 5:48. Therefore you shall be perfect. Equal to just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. My brother and my sister, that is a challenge. You and I never can say we have arrived. And so there is a meaning in there. And the meaning of purity is be single-minded. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian. Live like a Christian. Walk like a Christian. Eliminate anything that is not Christianity in you. And be an example of love and kindness and gentleness. And so that people can see in you God himself. Ooh, what a challenge. What a challenge. So what is the meaning of pure in the heart? Single-minded in your personhood is my definition. I'll be a single-minded. I'll be a Christian to my wife. She will be so crazy about me because I love her with the perfection of God. Can you imagine a man loving his wife with the perfection of God? She melted her. She don't know what to do for you. Some people come for counseling and say, I don't know what to do with my wife. I know. Oh, your Latins know. They think that Latins know how to love. They got it all wrong. Their emotional system is all backwards. It is when you follow God and you do what God said, the results are coming up. So what is the meaning when Jesus said, blessed are the pure in the heart. Blessed are those who are single-minded. I've never forgot. I'm glad I was 30 when I started seminary. And I had one doctorate degree and one engineering degree. And one day in chapel, the old Archer Weniger, the old German pastor, we studied with people 80 and 75. I don't think it's old today, but at that time I thought it was old. And he stood up in the chapel. We're 13 guys only. He stood in the chapel and said, put a checkbook on the top over there. We want to see where you spend the money. What? What about privacy law? No privacy law here. Here's the church. You see where you put the money. We want to see if you're a Christian or not a Christian. That's serious. See, because you're going to be a leader. And you want to show your people how to give. The word shock. Now, they're right. They're right. They called my wife and the wife of the other guys, and the women of these people taught my wife and the others how to be a pastor's women. How to put up with everything. how to give up your husband to the Lord so that he can serve you free. Amazing. I have in a school that Brother Greg goes to the same school, but it's different now. The old school was good. They address one thing, purity, single-minded. You're in here? Okay, we want to know you're in here for good. Imagine yourself going to college. Well, I want to study, but I don't know. Well, don't go to college. You don't know. Go and clean the streets. Do something else. Make some money. You cannot go to college and say, well, I don't know what I want to study. No, sir. You go and wash cars and do whatever you want to. When you are tired, come back to college and tell me what you want to do. At 12 years old, we already knew in South America what to do. Every student has analyzed and said, okay, your father is this, your grandfather is this, you go study here. Your father is this, your grandfather is this, you study this. I grew up in a disciplinary way where they study your personality and they shower. And somebody said, no, I want to study something else. Prove it, they said. And then you can switch schools and strive good. You know? Here in America, everybody's loose. No wonder Satan is dancing. Meaning of purity. Have a single mind. Now, it's achievement. When you have purity, what do I accomplish? Here's a question for you. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, page 735. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9. Here's a question. The scripture have. Who can say, I have made my heart clean? I am pure from sin. That's not a great question. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 9, page 735. Who can say, I'm a clean man? I have a single mind for God. I did it myself. Who can say that? Well, the answer. Jeremiah 13:23, page 837. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. You're going to see there in Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23, the answer. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Ethiopians are Caucasian in their physical structure. They are not like people who come from Africa, for example. They have different bone structure. Ethiopians are Caucasians, but they have black skin. And the question is, can an Ethiopian change his skin, or the leopard his spot? Then may you also do good who are accustomed to do. In other words, my friend, my good friend, can you change by yourself your mind? I have news for you. You cannot. You cannot. You cannot change, even if you want to change, even if you want to say, I'm going to do this. How many times you guys said, I will do that, and you fail later on, 10 minutes later. There is a reason for this. Is there any solution, Pastor? Yes, it is. Go to the Gospel of John chapter 15, and verse 3, page 1170. The disciples, when they saw the tremendous life of Jesus, they maybe thought that they never can be like Jesus. And Jesus changed their mind in John 15, verse 3. He said, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Guys, you are clean. If you read the word and you do what the word says, that cleans your muscle system, and you can operate clean. That's what Satan take this book out of the school. I was testifying to an officer of the law yesterday. In 1850, Argentina learned Castilian Spanish through American teachers because the president of Argentina, Mr. Sarmiento, was an ambassador to the United States in those years, and he was elected president when he was an ambassador. He was so good. And the first thing he did is call all the American teachers to teach Spanish with the Bible. And in order for me to graduate from sixth grade, I have to read the book of Proverbs perfectly in Castilian language of the year 1543. And you think that you read the Bible and it's not going to touch you? You think it goes sleeping? But see, purity comes when we read the Word of God and read it again and read it again. This morning, devotional with my wife, we read Proverbs chapter 22. And I had to do a very tough job on Saturday on somebody. I had to cancel somebody and say, you are wrong and you're going to do what I said, or you are the devil. And the person shocked hearing those words from me. And they said, well, what do? I help you how to get out of this mess, but you have to confront it in that way. And we today, during the devotional, we found a beautiful verse of hope for that person who is going to change and is going to do what God wants that person to do. He said, I'll do it. You write the letter, I sign it. Yes, I get out of this mess. And there's a verse in Proverbs 22, for great for that person. See, in other words, the Word of God will wash away your problems and will encourage you and give you direction. Will work in your module system and clean all the mess around so that you can have a single mind to serve God. It is when we get the garbage of the world in our mind over God and push God away. Remember, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Beautiful. Achievement. You can achieve perfection. You can achieve perfection if you read your Bible and you do what your Bible says. Know what the tradition says. Remember when I taught here in the church Roman Catholic Catechism? We had a catechism here and the Bible there. What they said was good, but their practice they tell you to do was wrong, because it was the idea of man and not the idea of God. Now the results. I become pure of mind. I'm going to do what God said, and I'm going to serve God in every capacity. Whatever, I'm a businessman, I'm a worker, I'm going to do that. I told the people when I work, I said, I'm going to work so that my boss can never fire me because I produce too much money for him. That's the best union law you can have in your mind. I'm going to work, remember 1 Corinthians 10, you work, do everything unto the Lord. I want to work in such a way that the owner said, well, I maybe have a little job, but I can afford to lose that guy because he makes money for me. I started working in America in 1965 on May 25th, and I no stop yet. I never asked the government for a penny. What's the results? Matthew 5:8 said, blessed are the pure in the heart. Blessed. I'm blessed by God if I do that. Now, why? Why I'm blessed by God? All right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 30. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5. Proverbs, right after the book of Psalms, the book of Proverbs. Look at what the Bible says. Why, if I obey and get the word of God in my mind, why am I going to be successful? For every word of God is pure. There is no a yuck in this Bible that is an all maybe. Or could be. Or maybe so. Every word of God is pure. He says, shield to those who put their trust in him. Young people, when you trust this word of God, there will be no professor in front of you that will stop you. There will be no college too big for you. That's what I told Jacqueline. Boston University is peanuts. Compare a Christian. Walk in that campus as a Christian. Teach them what the law says. Even the professor says something, raise your hand and say, you're all wrong. Let me tell you what it is. And a little, do what I did. And she had the blood. She's a good debater. She's going to be a good lawyer. The word of God is the key. What are the symptoms of an impure heart? I thought, well, I better be a medical doctor. Now, what are the symptoms of an impure heart? Maybe if I give you the symptoms of the impure heart, then you detect it. All right? First symptom of an impure heart is ignorance. Go to John Gospel, chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, page 1151. John Gospel, chapter 3, verse 19 and 20, page 1151. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil, said the scripture. Now look in verse 20. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to light, let it, these should be exposed. And there are people who say, no, I will not read the Bible. That's ignorance. If you say, I will not read the Bible. No, I don't care about the Bible. That is a symptom that your heart is impure. Second, selfishness. Go to the end of the Bible, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. Here is a church who say this, Revelation 3, and verse 17, at the end of your Bible, page 1339. Right at the end, chapter 3, verse 17. Look at God is talking to the church. He said, because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you, and do not know that ye are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Selfishness is a symptom of an impure heart. You're a selfish person. You never see yourself how you are. Another one, unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Page 1304. Unbelief is another symptom of an impure heart. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you. Now, notice that the Bible doesn't say beware people of the world. It says beware, brethren. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. These are the symptoms of an impure heart. Ignorance. I will not read this Bible. People are ignorant of this book called the Bible. And the Bible is the one who cleans you. The Bible is who keep the module, the center of your module system, the will and the mind, under control. And people do not read it. People do not come to church. People do not pray. People are not gathering together as God commands on His day. People are careless. That's why we have a lack of leadership in America today. Amen. We need to vote. But we say, Lord, only you modify the mind of the one who is a president to come. Because there is no one in any party. They will say, I will stand for God and my country and bring America back to righteousness. No one! And I keep writing to all the candidates. You are missing the boat, I said. You are missing, the day I'm senator, I want to point it to you. You are missing the boat. We don't need money from anybody. We don't need oil from anybody. We need to come back to this, to the oil of the Bible. That's the problem. Say, America lacks oil. No, America lacks reading. I will blow up all the televisions so that the people will never can see television and only put the Bible in the television so they can switch the pages. I have ideas, you know. What am I trying to say? 2 Corinthians 7:1 say it all. Here is a nutshell what I want to say. I thank Dr. Schaefer now with the Lord who taught me how to get the 2-hour sermon in one verse. 2 Corinthians 7:1. Therefore, said the apostle, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness and the fear of God. Christians, that little building that we are making is penance. These young fellows, after I'm dead and Greg get to be 75 like me, they will build a mansion if the Lord have not come. There is no limit what a church can do. No limit. No limit. But you need to be pure in the heart. I talked to the man who started this church, Oak Rick in Oakdale. 24 acres property, church. 24 acres property. I said, sir, I know it's 106, but I want to walk. I want to walk in this land. I want to see the land. And then I sit down on the table to eat, and I said, tell me this story. The buildings were very simple. We're in a steel structure, sheet metal on the outside, and sheet rocks inside. With $500,000, they did 7 buildings. Very beautiful. The city over there is not so picky like this one here. So tell me this story. So we were about 5 people 18 years ago and started Bible class. And it grew to 50 and to 100. And we said, we need the church. And we saw this property right on Gary Street, Highway 120, as you pass the creek, right there, 24 acres, owned by a doctor who wanted to build this and build this and build the other. And we went, the 100 people, to buy it with no money. So how much you want? He said, no, I don't want to sell it. I want to make apartment buildings here and there and there and there. 1 year passed by, 2 years passed by. We were about 200, of which 100 were young people. So the income was only, that said, maybe 50 families' income. And we went again. And the man was an unbeliever, making money like crazy, very famous doctor. And he looked to them and said, you know, guys, the city don't let me do anything. I hate the city, so I'm going to give you the property so you put the church where the city don't let me have the building. And they all kneel down and cry. And that's what the church is. They have an amphitheater, and they have just building. Building after building looks like a warehouse. And they said, each time we walk here, we look up and we say, God, you're really great. That's what's going to happen to us. But it's not going to happen if we, church, I don't care about the unbelievers, I don't care about the city hall. If we, church, are not reading this book, and I'm holy in our walk of life, I challenge you to think about your life. Go to Jesus, the super mechanic. He will fix your module, brand new. And when dirt comes tomorrow, take the washer, the word of God, and we clean it. Thank you, Father. Thank you because you said, blessed are the pure in the heart. And I believe it. And I believe that nothing in this world will stop you. Never stopped you before. Never will stop you now. Bless our families who are suffering. Give them a strength and to see your victory over their life. Help us to look into our life. Not into the life of somebody else, but into our life. And pray for the desire to be clean. And to walk with you with integrity. To have a heart who love people and help people to death. But they are true to principles. Help us to work hard. Help the young people to study as hard as they can and more. So that they become useful in their life. Thank you for the families who care for these young people. Thank you for the fathers and mothers who pay the bills. And Lord, it's a sacrifice, but they are doing this so that they can show the world that indeed Christianity really works. Lord, we are in trouble in California with this business of marriage. But you have power to stop it right there on the brakes. So we pray that you will honor yourself and show us your glory. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Pay his sin debt Upon Calvary's flow, I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save that poor sinner who is sin sick and lost. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on the works that they do, and some men count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over and the victory is won, I'll go home through the blood of my Father's precious Son. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me.